Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. Imagine we've got a lot of happy campers in the chat box today. Okay, my name's Jason, I'm your host, and tonight I am joined by Aussie Dom. Say hello, Aussie Dom.
Hello.
How are you, pal? You alright?
That's about as much as I feel like saying this evening, I think, Jace.
Yeah, tell me about it, pal. Tell me about it. There you go, never mind. Also, tonight we have the maestro himself. It's John Welsh. Hi, John. You alright, pal?
Yeah, I'm good, Jace. How you doing, mate?
Not very good, to be honest with you, mate. Not very good. I'm not happy at all.
I'm not surprised after that.
Yeah, that's all I can describe. Well, no, let's go through it properly. Hello to everybody in the chat box. Hope you're all well. 73295's there. DK Druids there. Ephraim Amzani, My Soul 1990, Thunder Road, Boy 10 Dio, K Man Arsenal Forever, Boris UK, The Walrus and the Hedgehog, Force X. If I've missed you, I'm sorry, but hello everybody. How are you all? Oh, Lostness is there. Stan the Man's there. Stephen Edwards is there. Stephen Edwards, you can't blame Aaron Ramsey tonight. What's gonna happen to you, pal? What's gonna happen? Right, okay. So let's go straight to the lineups. John, no Sanchez, no Ozil, no Ramsey, no Jack. Tell me what you think about it all.
I wasn't too surprised with the lineup, to be honest. I thought Alexis, there was always going to be a chance he got rested after the internationals. You know, Arsenal likes to do that. Ozil, we didn't know how fit he was. He was coming back from the injury. He hadn't played for a while. I suspected both of them would be on the bench, probably. The fact we only got one is a little bit disappointing, obviously. As for the rest of the team, I thought the only slightly odd decision was starting Welbeck. Not that I've got anything against Welbeck. I love him. It's great to have him back, well, at least for the brief period he was back in the game before he went off again. But I thought just because he had the injury and with his history of picking up another one straight afterwards, that maybe Walcott might have come in, perhaps, if he was available, or maybe started the game. But yeah. I mean, the lineup wasn't a huge surprise. It was good that Kolasinac and Nacho, Koscielny, everyone all passed fitness, because I think we had some concerns about the back three coming into the game. With obviously Mustafi picked up his injury, was Holding going to come in? Was Chambers available? That kind of thing. So I think it was a fairly expected lineup, but it looked like it lacked a little bit of creativity from what we're used to. You know, the little bit of individual spark.
Muted
sorry, yeah, 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 though. Yeah, no runners from deep was a big issue for me looking at the lineup. I didn't kind of understand that. Dom, we've had a lot of clamoring for Jack to start today. Question: has Jack done enough to start a Premier League game at the moment?
As long as he's fit enough, I don't see what he's not done, as far as, you know, what I think he's passed all the tests so far. I think that he's, when he has played, he has actually made a bit of a difference. And I'm, you know, like John said, with Welbeck, I wouldn't have minded seeing Jack start in that position over Welbeck, purely just because of Welbeck's only just coming back from an injury. However, I can see why they didn't, because Jack and Iwobi aren't really very threatening in front of goal. You know, they're more sort of set up players. And I think that we had enough issues with not being threatening enough as it is. So I can definitely see that. I'm not a huge fan of Elneny. I think that a lot of the issues that we had with the way that we played today, he doesn't actually help much. I think he contributes to more than anything. He's a very sideways player. You know, people can say that he keeps the game ticking, but it's not really damaging. It's not threatening. And I think the further that game went along, the more comfortable Watford got in transition, in attacking us, because, you know, as soon as they got a couple of players back behind the ball defensively, we just decided to pass it sideways again. So I don't think he really, in the middle of the pitch, causes too many teams too many problems. And I think Jack does.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fair enough. But I think the big issue is he's only really played against Bate Borisov and Doncaster Rovers, and it's a big leap up the Premier League at that point. And to be honest, he was shattered after 60 minutes against Barty. He's had no game time since. So you're kind of on the edge there. I understand the calls for him in. I understand the fact he wasn't picked. Starting from the bench was okay. No Sanchez and no Rambo in the squad at all. I did find that strange. I know there's a lot of travel. Well, you know, Ramsey didn't have to travel for the European games so much, but obviously Sanchez did. And Ozil back on the bench. Anybody think, you know, I mean, was it time to start Mesut? Because there was no creativity. There was very little creativity in the team today.
I mean, John. I think look at the team on paper, that there's enough in that that should be able to create chances and score goals. The width that Bellerin and Kolasinac, they've both had. Kolasinac in particular has had a really good start to his career at Arsenal, provided some nice assists and getting goals himself. Bellerin has had an up and down season, but you know he can be that threat. It won't be. Again, bit of a hit and miss season, but the quality's there. They've just got to go out and perform it on the pitch. I think you have to give some credit to the way Watford defended, particularly in the first half. I thought they were very well organised and made it difficult to break down, which is why I can kind of see Dom's argument for maybe Jack starting the game. I personally wouldn't have, just because I don't think he's fit enough yet to start in this kind of match. But when you get those games where it's very tight and it's packed in the middle, and they're just going to let you swing the ball into, you know, let's be honest, Lacazette is a very good finisher. And he's great in the box, but when you're playing up against three big centre-backs, it's going to be hard for him to get his head on anything. So they're just going to let you swing it in from wide. You need someone like a Jack who's going to run at the defence and try and open up and burst into a bit of space. I do think we missed Ramsey today. That extra runner in midfield just causes another problem. Elneny tried it a few times, but it's not really his game. And then the problem with that is that if you do that, you've got to have the awareness to get back, which I don't think he did today, which isolated Xhaka, who also had a really poor game today. I thought he was pretty bad in midfield.
Xhaka and Elneny have never had a good game together, though, have they?
I thought they were okay. When did we play Ramsey at 10?
Oh.
Was that against Chelsea?
No, I don't think so. Was it Chelsea game? It might have been. I can't remember, but I know what you mean. But yeah, they had an okay. The problem is they're quite conservative with the ball.
Yeah.
And Iwobi likes to come short, so you haven't got that running behind. Lacazette quite a few times made like shape to make the running behind, and it wasn't picked out, which is a bit disappointing.
Welbeck was found a few times, didn't he?
Yeah,
it was Brighton. Sorry, Morrison Hedges. I said it was Brighton.
Yeah. Welbeck was found a few times, which is going to be easier ball for Xhaka to hit anyway. But Lacazette made that run and it wasn't really picked up. So, yeah, it just lacked that little bit of spark. But the players that were out on the pitch should be good enough to make chances. And they just didn't make... They made a few decent chances, but they either fell to the wrong person or just weren't taken when they should have been.
Yeah, okay. Let's just show the game in, guys. So it kicked off... It was rather tepid, some decent enough football. You had a couple of half chances from ourselves. Watford had a half chance off the Pereira header. It didn't find the target. Then you had an Elneny shot. It really lacked potency from the off, Dom. What did you think of the first sort of 20 minutes?
It's a bit of a snooze fest, wasn't it? I think, one of the commentators here actually had a good point. You know, we were 1-0 up at halftime. It's not the most terrible position to be in when you're away away from home against a team that was very, very well organised. The, you know, controlling the game and getting a 1-0 win is what teams like Manchester United get all this praise for doing. The difference is that we can't seem to close it out, you know. We don't seem to be defensively, and this is coming off of four clean sheets too, mind you. But we just never looked in control of that game.
I don't know. At some point in our first half, we were up to 70% possession,
and we had zero shots on target until about 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's fair
and
enough.
I think at one point in the 25th minute, the commentator said that Kolasinac was the only Arsenal player to even touch the ball in the Watford box. Yeah, so you can have all this possession and kick the ball sideways all you like, but it's not actually going to threaten a defence that just sits back and is, they're going to be happy with that, aren't they?
No, I think that's fair enough. So that kind of sums up our lack of potency, the lack of creativity in there. John, one of the things that highlights that for me was there was a break, kind of break. Well, Welbeck or Warby, it was. They were on the right hand side. I can't remember which one. Hector's bombing down. There are two defenders there, and he hits it straight to the defender, not to Hector. You know, our passing is not as great as people make out at times.
Yeah, there was a lot of that today, sort of easy or fairly easy 5-6 yard passes into someone's path and just hit too close to a defender for them, easy to intercept. It was a pretty poor quality game in the first half. It was fine when we had the ball at the back and just sort of passing it around in midfield. But any time we went forward with it, like, there was no final ball. The speed in the play was way too slow. And if you're playing against a team that's organised good enough, and, you know, it doesn't matter on the where you are in the league, in the Premier League, most teams are good enough to at least get a general shape and get back in defence. You just didn't exploit the space quick enough. Every time we broke, we either made the wrong pass or the player with the ball held on to it too long and then tried a shot from where he wasn't going to score. Lacazette was guilty of it. Iwobi was. Welbeck. It wasn't like it was just one player today. It was basically near enough all of them on the pitch, just making the wrong decision at the wrong time or the wrong weight on the pass. And I don't know if it's, come back from international breaks, everyone's performed for their countries and maybe they're a bit tired or they're just not quite up for the game. I don't know what it is. Our away form this season has been dreadful.
Saying that, we went to Chelsea and drew. It was a great performance. I know the Stoke game was atrocious and obviously the Liverpool game was.
Yeah.
But I thought we'd put that to bed with the Chelsea performance.
I mean, don't get me wrong, the Chelsea game was great and it was one we could have won, but it's that you have to do it consistently. And we have it. The only thing we've done consistently is, you know, that's the first game we scored away in, I think, in the league or something.
Yeah.
And like that's a ridiculous record. Lacazette still hasn't got a goal away from the Emirates. I'm not blaming him. You know, he's still very early days in his Arsenal career, but something like that, if he got a goal today, it's that little thing that gets kind of off his back and it's out of his head and he's relaxed a little bit more, maybe a bit calmer in his decisions. And they just all seem to be playing sort of like 50% today. And Watford weren't doing a lot in the first half. They defended well. I thought Decore played quite well for them. But their standout player probably all game was the Brazilian kid, Richarlison, I think that's how you say it.
Oh, we'll come to him later.
Yeah.
We're going to come to him later, okay? Because I've got a couple of notes on him here.
Yeah. But, you know, we weren't... There was no, like, getting into the byline and pulling the ball back to anyone. Nothing like that. Just none of the passing was quite clicking.
But we've not done that all season, have we?
No, I was just going to say that.
In parts of games we have, but even today, there wasn't really one bit where I thought, yeah, our passing's really sharp just for like a 5-10 minute spell. It just didn't happen once.
Okay, bear with me a second. I'm going to come to you first here now, John, and I'm going to come to Dom, and I'm going to pass straight across to Dom on this. We brought this up in the Brighton radio show where it's all well and good having the pace of Kolasinac on the left and Hector on the right, but we don't really stretch teams either. We don't whip a ball in, and we don't fill in the pockets of space that those guys should create to stretch teams. So, you know, we're not effective at anything at the moment. So, you know, what is the point of the new system if we're not going to take up those positions to fill those pockets? And, you know, Welbeck didn't do it. Iwobi didn't do it. You know, I don't care who you've put there, really. Nobody's done it all season. So what's the point of it?
I just think it's since he changed to it last at the end of last season, it's just a system he wants to keep in place and try and keep some momentum going. I like three at the back. I watch too much Italian football, is probably why, but I don't think it necessarily fits us. It doesn't make sense for someone like Mesut Ozil, who he obviously always wants to play, which is fair enough because he's a good player, but it doesn't make sense for him. I don't think our centre mids are the best suited for that kind of system either. I think the wing backs we've got are actually brilliant for the system, but they either don't do the job or they don't receive the ball in the right areas at the right time. the number of times Bellerin made a, you know, 70, 80 yard run and no one just laid it out to him so he could make a first time cross or anything was really frustrating. But then you get the other side of it. When they do pass the ball to him, he doesn't whip the ball in first time. He then comes back and plays it inside again. It's just the way they're, you know, taught to play football, isn't it? They want that short, interpass, one touch kind of football.
But again, why aren't we filling spaces? You know, if we're going to stretch teams, right? Or if we're going to play the wing backs,
that's,
the wing backs
are where you get the individualism, though. It's, you know, the whole, if you're in the final third, the front three can kind of do whatever they want. Well, that's fine if you're scoring loads of goals and it's working. But when it's not working, maybe you do need to stick to a structure. But Iwobi's not going to stay on that right-hand side, is he? He wants to come central. He wants to basically be a number 10. He wants to pick things up and get the ball and do little layoffs. Welbeck really wants to play as a striker. He's not really a wide man. He'll do it, but he naturally will drift inside. And then Lacazette is just trying to fit into the team and make things happen. So he'll just pull out to... You saw a lot today, especially in the first half. He was pulling out wide, wasn't he? And he was the one actually crossing the ball. It would have been nice if it was other people doing it. But I just don't think... It's not necessarily that that's our system. Like, it's our, I think that's our shape and our system when we're defending, or it's supposed to be. But when we're going forward, it's just much more just go and play. You know, you haven't got, you're supposed to be here and you're supposed to be within the width of the 18-yard box. It's just go and do your thing.
Okay, but Dom, surely then, if it's a case of just go and do your thing, these guys should be intelligent enough to fill those holes, to be the extra man, to stretch teams, to make them uncomfortable defensively. Surely we should be doing that.
Well, clearly they don't. This isn't a one-off. I've been speaking about this even at the start of last season, where I think we've lost any kind of footballing identity. And until we get one back, this isn't going to change. And I mean, I know that people were going to be in the chat box, you know, discussing the manager because of the result. But I'm looking at the style of football that we have or haven't been playing over the last 18 months. That's the reason why I think we need a change in manager, because he doesn't seem to instill any kind of system in the players. So, you know, we talk about how Ramsey was out, how Ozil didn't start, how Sanchez wasn't playing. That shouldn't change the way that we play. Sure, the quality might be a bit less. Maybe we won't have 70% of the ball. Maybe we'll only have 60. Maybe we won't have 10 shots at goal. Maybe we'll only have 6. But the way in which we play and the way in which we try to attack teams or try and defend teams should always be the same regardless of the personnel out there. And whilst that remains the case, this will keep happening over and over again. And it's been like this for a long time now, where no one has been able to actually clearly explain to me what we do when we play football anymore. And if you look at Man City, if you look at Man United, if you look at Chelsea, Leicester, when they won the league, it doesn't take a footballing pundit expert to tell you what they were doing. They just did it well. They backed themselves and they made sure that if one player was out, the player that replaced that one did the same role. It's the next man up mentality. We don't have that next man up mentality. We have a just play with freedom mentality, go and express yourself mentality. And it doesn't work anymore. You know, we don't have the leaders on the pitch and the footballing nous of Tony Adams that can direct the game, or Dennis Bergkamp or Thierry Henry. These were guys that understood football at a level that young kids don't seem to anymore. I think young kids just get by on pure talent and they don't really learn the game in the same way as the Lampards and the Gerrards and these kind of players. So you're talking about the players should be smart enough. Well, the reason that Chelsea did well last year is because Conte is a tactical, systematic approach to playing football. All of the players said it. In every interview, they were talking about how much they learnt from him. And he demanded that from his players. For all of Mourinho's faults, and I hate him, I absolutely hate him, he instills footballing nous in his players and tells them and makes sure and holds them accountable if they don't do what he asks them to do. We don't do that. And until we do, this is going to keep happening. Like, we're going to be in a struggle for top four again.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, let's move on now then. The goal, it will be forces a corner. Great delivery from Xhaka, and Pear just bangs it in. Why they had cleverly. you're looking and thinking, Is this at the Arsene Wenger School of Defending? And that's a bit harsh. That's a bit harsh. But our first away goal of the season, I think, is our first goal from a set piece in that way for quite a long time. Dom, I'm going to come back to you, and then I'm going to go to John. First of all, it's a first goal from a set piece in quite some time. Great finish by Pear. Great set piece. My God, we've been missing this from our game for a long time, haven't we?
Yeah, it's probably a bit of a no-brainer, and especially over the years, you know, you've got someone out there that's 6'5". Why not try and put the ball on top of his head, especially when you've got someone like Tom Cleverley marking him at the corner? So, when's the last time we scored? I mean, Giroud seems to pop up now and then with a corner goal from a set piece, but I don't think we score any less than other teams when it comes to set pieces, do we, John?
Maybe less than, say, I don't know, like West Brom or someone like that.
Yeah, who they
might get more of their goals from that kind of thing, and they probably work a lot more intensively on their set piece delivery and defending it. But yeah, the defending was absolutely comical. I feel a bit sorry for Tom Cleverley, because clearly on the commentary on BT, Robbie Savage pointed it out, is, you know, Cleverley's just trying to block off Mertesacker's run. He's not supposed to challenge for him for the ball with him. And I don't know who it was, whether it was Mariappa or one of the centre backs was supposed to, you know, take the space and go for the ball. But they just didn't attack it at all. And, you know, Mertesacker's obviously really good in the air, and it's a nice thank you very much, I'll get that. And we nearly got a second one again, because they didn't change it second half. They still did exactly the same thing. They set up the same way. So I'm a little bit disappointed we didn't get another goal from a set piece, to be honest, because all you got to do is put it on the penalty spot, which you would think that our players are, you know, capable of doing from a corner. Just put the ball in that area, especially when Giroud has come on as well. So another guy is going to be able to attack the ball easily. But yeah, it was bizarre. And to be honest, I thought when it went in, I was like, oh, no, bit of a surprise. Very happy, obviously. Right time in the game as well, because I thought at that point the game had kind of flattened out a little bit, and Watford were doing okay, getting forward, swinging balls in the box. It looked like they didn't do it enough, in my opinion, at least for them. They were trying to isolate Mertesacker against, is it Andre Gray? The guy they had up front first half?
Yeah,
you know, he's got a bit of pace about him. So I thought, yeah, I'll take that happily, like going into halftime 1-0 up, because we weren't great and we hadn't created a lot. I think the best chance we had was there was like a cross early on that I think Bellerin put in, and Lacazette just couldn't quite get his head to it. It was really whipped in. It was quite early in the game. And he just couldn't. He wasn't quite big enough to get there. But we hadn't created a lot.
No, we hadn't. The one thing about, I mean, everybody's having a pop at zonal marking on the goal. But if their centre half would have attacked the ball ahead of attacked the ball more effectively ahead of Pear, he'd have got it away.
Yeah,
the thing with zonal marking is that because a lot of the commentators are ex-players and they don't understand zonal marking, they never did it back in their day, that every single time a goal is conceded from a corner, it gets highlighted and spoken about, and there's this, oh, does zonal marking work? Well, goals used to get conceded from corners when it was man-on-man as well. And there was just nothing to compare it to. So I'd love to see some statistics on, you know, goals from corners, zonal marking versus goals from corners versus man-on-man. I don't think it would be all that different. And if it was, do you not think that in this day and age with statisticians and all the technical crap that goes on in football clubs, they might go, hey, guys, this zonal marking concedes 50% more goals than man-on-man. Maybe we should go back to man-on-man.
Yeah, the thing, I don't mind it. I don't have a problem, because if it works, it's fine. It's, you know, as long as you drill properly at it. And some teams are, they're very good at it. It's more of a continental thing. I think that's why a lot of the ex-pros don't like it so much. But don't, you know... The thing that Savage was complaining about, at least in the commentary on BT, is that then it's who gets the blame for the goal going in. And for me there, it's one, why Cleverley's picking up Mertesacker to block him in the first place doesn't make sense. But also, whoever it was, the centre-back, it wasn't the one at the near post for the six-yard box. It was the central one. I can't remember who it was now. But he's the player who should be clearly taking the ball and attacking the ball there. So it's that player's fault. But when you have Lang's own, all the Lang gets passed around. And yeah, if it's done properly, it's fine. Because, I mean, we play like a mix of zonal and man marking and have done for ages.
Yeah, it's one of those, right? I had to suffer being sports and Richard Keys, Andy Gray, Dwight York, and was it Chris Hughes who was Spiff Charlton?
Chris Powell. Yeah, Chris Powell, yeah.
I like Chris Powell. I think he's the only one of the brain there. But Jesus Christ, Gray and Keys are biggest pair of twats on television. Bannon. Fuck, let's take me back to the 50s. It's unbelievable.
You just look like a talking toe at the moment. Can you get your foot off the fucking computer?
Oh, sorry.
Jesus.
Okay. Well, I'm relaxing. It's been a tough afternoon. Okay, so the first half then, there were a couple of efforts. We had a couple of Xhaka shots, a Hector effort, but we weren't potent in front of goal whatsoever. You know, it was really painful to watch. You know, we should have created a bit more. We had the Xhaka free kick from the Lacazette, from Foul and Lacazette. My God, it wasn't the worst football ever, Dom, but my God, it was painful to watch, wasn't it?
It was a bit. And I think at the same time, I was thinking about this afterwards, just going and getting myself a little snack before we started the stream tonight. And I think for me, what's got me at the moment is that these kind of results do happen. You know, they do. We had 8 shots on target to their 2, and they scored with both of their 2. And we've seen this a lot of times before. And not only us, other big sides as well sometimes have these slip-ups. But it's not a one-off. It's the way that we played today. Even if we scrapped a 1-1 draw, the way that we played is the concerning thing. And I think a lot of that comes down to the uncertainty around the club at the moment, both on and off the pitch. I know it is for me, where I think going into every game, every result is almost sort of heightened. The, you know, every emotion that you have, especially a negative one, is heightened because of the uncertainty. We've got a manager that's turning 69 very soon. We've got, you know, our 2 best players going into the last year of their contract. They won't sign. We don't know what's happening. People are saying, should we sell them in January? Should we not? There's uncertainty there. And we're in Europa League for the first time in 20 years. All of these things combined just add a very uneasy feeling to everything to do with the club. And I think I really do think that that's affecting the players. I think it's affecting the fans. I think it's affecting the whole situation at the moment. That's why I genuinely think that finishing top 4 this year is extremely important to try and settle things down, because we're not going to have Ozil and Sanchez here next season. And if we start slipping backwards and start becoming another Liverpool, it's a long road back up again.
Okay.
I just think it's a really in place to be where, like I said, we can talk about the performance, and the performance wasn't good enough, but there are so many other issues that make the performance worse than it was.
Yeah, can we come back to that after we finish analysing the game, then? Because I do actually want to broach that today, because I think there's a whole host of issues that have come together to make us, you know, you can look in the chat box, you can look on social media, and you can see a lot of unsettled, unhappy people. And I think we should address it after this, because this isn't the first time it's happened. So then the first half ended, guys, and I actually wrote down Firmino and Richarlison are little bitches. Boy, do I regret that now. They were, though. They were pissy, moany, horrible, divey twats.
You got to understand, though, that Richarlison's come from Fluminense. It's his first season in the Premier League. He's come from Brazilian football, where you have to dive about all over the place, complain for everything, and then when the ref's not looking, you punch the other player in the face. It's just really football over there. You know, it's a very different culture. I'm sure he'll change, but as annoying as he was today, obviously, for the bit we're going to come on to, I actually think he looks a decent player. But
There's a talent there, undoubtedly talent there. You know, you can see that with him. But second half started kind of a bit meh again. There was a bit of back and forth. There was a Richarlison shot. There was a break, and it will be. Did he dive in the penalty box? What happened there, John?
The Iwobi one. That was, who was it? I think it was Holovas came back, and it was just shoulder to shoulder. I mean, Iwobi didn't look like he called for it. I thought it was a fair challenge, and I think it's one of those ones as well, because Gomez came sliding out and got the ball, and was clearly going to win the ball, even say if Iwobi had been strong enough to muscle Holovas off it. I think Gomez is still getting the ball first. And it's not going to change what happens with, you know, Watford receiving the ball again. So I'm not sure it's a dive. I just think it's a coming together and just a bit of a tangle of legs, and he's just lost his footing. I don't think it was that bad. There was certainly a dive in the game, but it wasn't that one.
Yeah. But we'll come on to that in a second. We had a few breaks after that. The game was pretty even. We were on top, Dom. Welbeck went down in the box. It's kind of 50-50. I don't think there's
any... That one was fine. I saw someone in the chat box say that they thought Welbeck dove in that situation. But if you watch, the defender came right off his line and did initiate contact with Welbeck, but he did so shoulder to shoulder, and it was great defense, to be honest. And it was just, he let the ball run into his path so that Welbeck couldn't get across him. But in that situation, or in that little tangle, Welbeck strained his hamstring. So I'm not sure he was diving to try to win a penalty. I think it was because he was injured. So there was nothing wrong with that, though. That was just good defending.
No. I thought that summed it up, though, is the fact that we had quite a number of breaks, but we weren't efficient in the way we handled those breaks. The support wasn't good enough. Players were isolated, and that kind of summed us up again today. You know, we get the good break going, but you know, players are isolated and they're going down. Decent defending from Watford, in all fairness, but. You know, it just didn't happen for us, did it?
No. I'm sure we're about to get onto the Watford penalty now, but
yeah, we are.
If you look at that, even that situation, before we start going into the diving debate and the referee, etc., I do want to say that had Ozil actually converted that goal 20 seconds earlier, we wouldn't be having
we're going to come to that next, actually. Right, bit of a shout-out. Rudy's Rastlos. Mike from Gooners in the USA. Gaming for Life, Sakin Soj, Ethan Claridge, Sleep 99, Saint Columbo, Nina 97, Alan Bastard, MP, nice. Mehdi, they're all in the chat box. Guys, as you know, Dom, John, Danny, everybody gives up their time for nothing. If you can give us a thumbs up, we'd really appreciate it. Thumbs down if you don't like what we're saying, don't worry about it, we don't really care. But you know, we do appreciate the fact that you are in the chat box, and thank you for being there. It's much appreciated. Okay, so Welbeck gets injured with that summer. Was it summer thigh again?
Looked like his hamstring, I think. He pulled it, looked like he was touching his right hamstring, I think.
Who's that, Welbeck?
Yeah,
that's a hammy.
Yeah. So Ozil comes on. His first bit of skill for the Iwobi shot. Lovely pass through the line. You know, Gomez, decent save, to be fair. You couldn't argue with that. And then we go on to one of the breaks, as we've just spoken about. And we're just going to go up to the Ozil shot on this, okay? The Kolasinac ball to Iwobi. Iwobi breaks wonderfully. Yeah, it's a great ball from Kolasinac. Iwobi drives down. Mezic probably offside, but you know, he's been
I'm
fed
not
the
sure
ball.
That he was. I'm not sure that he was. I think the camera angle they showed on the replay was like a pretty shitty camera angle.
So it's very tight. Like
from the I think he was on, to be honest. But anyway,
well, the linesman didn't raise his flag, but Ozil then shoots the piss weakest shot I've ever seen in my life, straight at the keeper. Straight at the keeper, and I accept, okay, you can't argue with his assists. You know, some of his goals last season were wonderful. Okay, but if this guy wants to be world-class, he's got to finish that shot, surely.
Yeah, that was so poor. And it was weird as well, because it was about 10 minutes after Troy Deeney had come on. And as soon as Troy Deeney came on, Watford started to take, not control in the game, but they looked the more threatening. because all they were going to do was hit the ball long. Troy Deeney was going to win it every time, and they were going to get on the knockdowns, and it started to cause us problems. And then we get this great break. I think it was Iwobi who played the ball into him, and it fell to Mezut. And as soon as I saw where he was and the defender's out, I was like, he's got enough time. This is easy. It'll slide it under the keeper, or it'll go around him, goal, and this will be it, and the game done. And just the just lack of conviction in his shot, and it's so disappointing. The thing is, you make the great point about when he comes on, literally his first touch of the ball, he takes a touch and he plays that beautiful, perfectly weighted pass into Iwobi, you know, does the right thing, tries to open his body up and do the shot. But you see the skill and the ability and everything in that pass. It's brilliant. Just do the same thing into the goal. It's just imagine there's a player in the back of the net and you've just got to pass the ball perfectly in there. It's not a hard thing to do. A player of his ability should be able to do that. And it's this is why people get frustrated with Ozil, because in the big games, he tends to disappear because they are physically more, you know, they're more demanding, and sometimes he can't quite get himself into the game enough, or we haven't got enough possession, so he's going to have less impact. But then in a game like this, where you should shine, first thing he does, gets the ball, makes a great chance. Iwobi, you know, fair play to him, tried his best, didn't get the goal, but, you know, good save for Gomez. Then you get presented with this. This is it. Seal it up. Win the game. You know, be the hero. Be the big superstar player. You know, prove why we should throw hundreds of thousands of pounds a week at you. Now, I'm not going to say he isn't going to miss chances like that. Of course he is. Everyone does in their career. But Christ, it happens over and over again. It doesn't, you know?
Yeah, sorry, pal.
Go on.
Tufster 9. Ta-da.
Welsh justice.
Jove 82, you're a top man. We love you.
I want to give a quick shout out to Chris Walker as well, who just popped in and said that it's his first time listening live. So welcome to the fun fest.
I love Mezut, and he's a great player and he's got great ability, but you cannot waste chances like that, especially in a game where we're not playing that well. In a game where you're performing badly, you've come off the bench. That's where your big players need to come on and go, just get the goal. It's all he had to do the entire game. He could have literally walked the pitch for the rest of the game, and we could have just gone, right, Mezut's done his job. Everyone else, just sit back and defend and see out 2-0. It's fine.
But this is the problem, wasn't it? You know, and I'm going to bring you in this instant now, Dom. Following on from what John is saying, yeah, let's be honest. Mesut Ozil, wonderful, world-class footballer, absolutely no bottle. No bottle whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't disagree. You know how much I love Mesut Ozil. You know how much how highly I think of him as a footballer. And I don't think that he's ever been given a formation or a team or a system that gets the most out of him at Arsenal. However, when you're talking about no bottle, etc., I think that some of the comments made about him are a little bit too harsh. I think that some of the commentators just don't like the lax kind of attitude or the way that he runs. And when he plays 90 minutes, he does cover the most ground of any player on the pitch. But because he doesn't slide around like Sanchez, people kind of dismiss the work rate aspect of it. However, the part that I agree with is a big player takes the game on. He grabs that chance and he smashes it into the back of the net, and he just goes over to the corner flag and he raises his arms and says, how good am I? You know, that's what the players in the past that have been at Arsenal that demand the big money that, you know, that we all go to watch, that's what they do. If it was a Bergkamp, Henry, Pires, you know, I know that we're harping back to a bit of a different era, but those are the types of players that want that opportunity, don't they? They're the ones that get into that position. And Aaron Ramsey does it too. You know, he will always be wanting to be in that position. And that's where I think we missed that a little bit today too, where there just didn't seem to be somebody that wanted to try to win that game. You know, that there just wasn't a desire, where the finishing for that chance was atrocious, like John said. But there just doesn't seem to be that desperation out there to actually take the game by the scruff of the neck and be the person that stands up.
I this is one of the things. No Limits Stenner has put in the group there. Let's all blame him where the ref gives a penalty, which isn't a penalty. We'll come on to that in a second. But the bottom line is, if you want the money, if you want, you know, and he's demanding, he was demanding big wages from us, whether he's engineering a move or not is another kettle of fish. If you want to be the main man at a club, you have to take those chances and relish taking those chances. He just, you know, I get he's from a poor family. He's a thoughtful, introverted guy, you know, I get all that. But if you're going to be Billy Big Bollocks, you have to be Billy Big Bollocks in front of goal as well. And he's just not done that. And arguably, this is the moment which has cost us the game. You cannot, you know, you're one-on-one with the keeper. You've got the whole goal to aim for, and you're shooting straight at him.
And you know, you know who scores that? You know who would score that in our team, other than probably Alexis? I think Giroud. Like he scored so many big clutch goals for us in big moments, and he does that. He runs over to the flag and he's like, "Yes, look at me go." How many times have I done this for you? Exactly, and we don't have enough of that. We didn't have that out there today, and Ozil doesn't have that. You don't need to be a world class player to have that in front of goal or have that in clutch moments, or you know what I mean. It's
a mentality.
It is.
And the thing is, he hasn't got it, which you know, it hurts me because I do love Mesut Ozil. I love watching him play, except the way he played today, you know, where he's just, yeah, Podolski would have taken that in a heartbeat, you know. But again, you know, he's held it for wages. There's disruption in the camp because of this, you know, with both him and Sanchez, with their contract talk, etc. You at least turn up and fucking deliver. In all fairness, Sanchez would have. So, from that point, you know, Mesut then fails to even make a challenge on Richarlison. And it does need to be said, you can run as much as you want on the pitch. You have to make a challenge. Bellerin comes to challenge him in the box. It is, there's minimal contact, it's shoulder to shoulder. Richarlison's always looking for the dive, yep. Goes down, penalty given. He hardly touched him. And the one thing I do want to say, I was watching beIN Sports and Kevin Kilbane is commentating. Kevin Kilbane is a massive fucking twat. He is, how does he get paid? You know, he tells you it's a dive and then he tries to justify it in the same breath. Talk me through it, John, and then pass straight on to Dom.
I mean, you summed it up really. You know, you go from, I think it was 32 seconds from Ozil's shot to them getting the penalty. They just, you know, the shot comes, there's no challenge, no follow-up on the shot. And then they just play it down the left-hand side. And Richarlison, who had been causing Bellerin problems all game, sometimes he'd gone inside, sometimes he'd gone outside. So there wasn't really, it didn't really matter which side Bellerin was going to show him down, but he wasn't getting a lot of help down that side. The man he's playing in front of him, Ozil, was obviously up the pitch. Disappointed he hasn't scored. But yeah, it's a dive all day. Bellerin hasn't done anything wrong. He's running with his man. I'm not going to give the referee a load of stick because if you see it from where the referee's standing, probably doesn't. It looks like a penalty. When I first saw it in full speed live, I thought, oh no. I thought it was a penalty. I saw the replay and said, oh no, okay, it's no contact, you know. They're running shoulder to shoulder. So it's disappointing, but it doesn't make it right that they got a penalty, but I don't think we played well enough to come out of that game with 1-0 win. So them scoring the goal from it, obviously, I think was probably accurate on the sort of balance of play kind of thing. Yeah, they got the goal illegally because it was a dive and everything else, but it's one of those things, you can't do anything about it. You can't go back and change the game now. I know there's a whole nail review panel, so they'll review that, and if they say it was a dive, he gets 2-game ban, I think it is, which doesn't help us. But you can't do anything about it. The point is, you know, like you've already said, Ozil should have taken his chance. We should have played better and created better chances earlier in the game and not been in a position where something like this can happen. I mean, I assume Dom thinks the same, that it was a dive.
Yeah. I think, I guess the issue is as well with this whole argument. The first thing I want to say is I agree. I don't like blaming referees. The referee wasn't the reason that we lost that game. Our quality in front of goal was the reason that we lost that game. However, you know, it is one of these things where if that result comes back to like last year, for example, we missed out on top four by a point. If that's the same going forward this season, you can look back at that and think, well, we got cheated. The player did cheat to sort of cheat us out of points, and it can have a huge impact on the end of the season. Now, I don't think this video stuff will actually really come into play until it will eventually. There is no doubt that eventually every other sport in the world has adopted it. I just think with the corruption around football around the world, it would really impact the some of the leagues or some of the clubs, you know, without being too skeptical.
They still get stuff wrong. They've got it in Italy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so
they've had it in Germany where they got one completely wrong. Because at the end of the day, it's still another human being judging on whether something
is. Right. But I mean, that situation, and even then, like you said, even if they review that and they give him a 2-game ban, that got them 3 points. They're still going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, the penalty for diving, it needs to be so harsh that a player doesn't go down unless
it needs to be a 5-match ban and the 3 points awarded.
But it needs to be
opposition.
It needs to be game time. It needs to be the same as rugby with sin bins, Jace, because in other sports as well, it's the same thing. If a player does something wrong, they finish the rest of the game. The team
but to me now, this game, the points should be awarded to us on it, okay? Or to the opposition.
Like a point deduction or something for sure. What would be better is if he just gets a straight red, gets sent off, and they play the rest of the game with 10 men. That would stop you from diving.
That would, but they're not going to do that.
Exactly. But then again, Jace, John is right, where they say, well, it's still somebody judging whether they've done it or not. But I think it just, after time, after, you know, a few months of it, players adapt and they just won't go down anymore like that. It just players adapt to rules. It's what they do. I've seen it in so many different sports. You bring in a new rule, players play around it, and they find a different way to try and get an advantage. It's such a competitive thing these days that the whole argument behind video referees and things is, should it come in? Yeah, absolutely, it should. You know, but again,
the guy comes from Brazil, and
doesn't matter though.
But Brazilian football's a joke. You know, when you look at the corruption,
the South Americans and exactly. But that's what I'm saying, is that because there is so much corruption around it, that you need to bring something in that punishes the team instantly. Otherwise, they will still go, oh well, look, this, you know, we're Watford. If we can get 3 points against Arsenal and we lose one of our players for 2 games, who cares? They'll do it.
It's not a
punishment for them.
There's no doubt that obviously it was a dive and they shouldn't have had the penalty, but that, like, I don't think the referee's at fault. I thought, other than that, the ref had a good game. I thought the linesmen's were both fine. I don't think anything else is wrong in the game.
Let's make no bones about it. Arsenal were the reason that they lost that game, not the referee.
Here
we go. Anonymous Stender puts in, a player in full speed just need to touch the ground. No, they don't. They genuinely don't. You will get people losing balance. They do not need a slight touch to ground. It's the biggest lie in sport.
It doesn't happen in midfield, does it?
No, it doesn't.
When a player's streaming down the wing and there's a little bit of contact, they'll kind of struggle to see if they can get ahead. And they don't just go down instantly, because it would break up the chance of scoring a goal if you fall over at that point of the build-up play. It's only in the box that they seem to go down like that.
Let's not be holier than now. It's not like we've never had players dive in the box to win us penalties.
Exactly the argument, though, isn't it? It's just that we don't want to see it. I don't like our players doing it. I don't like seeing us lose points because of it. I just think that the video stuff has to hurry up and be enforced, and it will help. It will help.
I think it's a genuine talking point on the actual game. If we played well and the penalty made it so that they got a draw or something out of it, but I think it's our performance what's giving us the result,
penalty. We shouldn't be analysing that for half an hour of the show.
We're done on that now. But I do want to say about it, you know, as you guys have said already, just reiterate, you know, refereeing's a tough job, and I thought the referee today was fine.
Yeah,
you know, he was fine. It was a decent performance from him. You know, he didn't really get anything wrong. I don't know his positioning on the penalty, but you know, it's the player that cheats. The referee, you know, he's not a
The ref's been cheated much, because he'll be now talked about in the papers because it was such a soft penalty. Yeah. And it might, he has to go and riff in the championship, which costs him money, you know, that's money out of his pocket, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. Exactly. We play went on. We created a really decent opportunity for Monreal, but Monreal had to take it onto the other foot, didn't even get a shot off. They came back at us. Kapoue had a shot deflected onto the post. And then we had Arsene was going to bring Jack Wilshere on, only for Coz, his Achilles, to go again. Now, I don't think Coz had a particularly great game today. He was okay, not fantastic. He didn't do anything really wrong. But we had to bring Holding on. Now, we spoke about this at the beginning of the season, guys. You know, we've known that Koscielny's had an Achilles problem for a long time. And is this the point in the season where we start to pay for having faith in him? John, I'll go to you on that first.
It's not having faith in him. It's just the fact that it's a tendonitis issue. So there's going to be some weeks where he can play 90 minutes and then he will be able to, you know, recover between this game and the next. And then there's going to, it wouldn't surprise me if he plays on the weekend. Is it Everton we've got, John, next?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it wouldn't surprise me if he plays that game even after coming off today injured. It's not a hamstring tear. It's not an impact injury or a strain. It's just that it gets so inflamed and a little kick or an incident throughout the game just becomes so painful that he can't run anymore. You know, he may have had a little bit of a tear or a nick in there or something today. I don't know, but I don't think that it's just a really hard situation to manage Koscielny, which makes it even more baffling to me why we were willing to let Chambers go in the summer. We were willing to let Mustafi go in the summer. You know, it's like we were having a centre-back clearance sale and we had one guy in Mertesacker that hadn't started a game for, you know, a year. And then we have a guy who's only got one foot. So, look, it's one of those situations. It's the reason Aaron Ramsey didn't play today. It's they are getting better at managing these types of players. They're never going to get it 100% right because it's not 100% science. So, you know, I trust that with the team that they have, it wasn't Arsene Wenger forcing Koscielny to play. It was the medical staff saying, we've given him the all clear. You can select him if you want. And so it's going to be very difficult to manage Koscielny for the rest of the season. He could say, yeah, look, it's feeling fantastic. It's not sore. Go into a game and by halftime it's cooked again. So that's just going to be one of those really annoying situations that we have to deal with between now and the end of the season. I don't know what the answer to that is, you know, and sort of resting it doesn't necessarily fix the issue. It's just going to flare back up again. It's the same issue that Santi Cazorla is going to have trying to come back. So we'll never see him ever again. But you've got a situation in the club where this is where in previous years we would have played Ramsey today. We would have played Sanchez and we would have played all those players and had a bunch of injuries and then been stuffed. And in saying that, we should have won that game with that team, even with a shitty performance that we had. There were just two moments in the game that cost us the game. And that was Iwobi's shot on goal that was very well saved, you know, a foot higher in the air or along the ground, and that's going to miss his hand and that goes in. Or Ozil not being completely inept in front of goal, and we're going to win that game, even with resting players and managing the players that we have sort of on that are a little bit injured. So that is an issue. It wouldn't surprise me if we try to address that in January with Koscielny. But at the same time, I think, you know, I think it's time for Holding and Chambers and some of the other guys to stand up a little bit.
Are they given, but okay, John, are Holding, Chambers being given the opportunity?
I mean, Holding is at times. I do feel sorry though for him because it seems to be that every game he's started recently, the defence or the team hasn't performed particularly well when he seems to be singled out and then taken off. I think that's Arsene's idea of protecting him. I'm not sure that's the best idea. I think sometimes you just got to stick at it and let him play more because maybe it gives him the wrong impression. But, you know, he seems happy enough whenever you see him to do with Arsenal and doing interviews and stuff. As for Callum Chambers, I've got no idea what the thinking is, to be honest. I didn't understand why we were trying to sell him. Then we decided to keep him. because we weren't sure what was going to happen with Mustafi, which was another one that was kind of weird. Then it's, okay, well, Callum James is here, but we don't really want him. We're going to try and loan him out. We couldn't get it all done in time. We'll probably sell him in January. And now all of a sudden he's got a new contract. I mean, I don't know. Is giving Chambers the contract to me kind of stinks of maybe a little bit of, oh, we've only just realised that actually Mertesacker is not going to be here at all next season. We're not sure how Koscielny is going to do the rest of this season, going into the next one. Is Nacho going to be at the top level performing the way he is at the moment? I don't think there's anything wrong with Nacho, by the way. He's performing great, but how much longer can he keep doing this? And maybe a little bit of desperation. We've got enough competitions that they should get games. You know, you've got the, what the hell was it? The Carabao Cup, and you've got the Europa League. Those competitions, they can play in that. That's fine. All right, they might be playing against weaker teams, but they're still playing against men. They're still playing in front of big crowds. They're still getting that experience. As long as they've got one person in that back three with them who's a little bit older, whether it be Koscielny, Mertesacker, Monreal, Mustafi when he's back, to guide him through the game, I think it's fine. And you've got to do that because they need to get more experience to be able to start games more regularly and get to the point where they don't need that, hand-holding next to them the full way through the 90 minutes. But we should have enough defenders to get through. It's just Mustafi got an injury at a bad time and it's kind of screwed us because we're in this bit. I think we've got like 9 games from now until the next international break in November. So, again, it's another busy period to get through.
Yeah, it's difficult. From that point on, Watford were on top. Our midfield dissolved. It was pretty pathetic, to be honest with you. Defensively, we looked weak. We didn't tuck in. They humped the ball up to Deeney. He won it. There were runners coming off. There was only one winner at that point, and the cleverly goal, Dom. I mean, that was a comedy of errors. Talk me through it.
I agree. I think as soon as they scored the penalty after that, and this is the thing, isn't it, is that even with tactics, systems, structures, all these things that we've been talking about, it's pretty clear that every single player on the pitch dropped their heads. And I know that one in every 10 games, we have one of these games where, like against Leicester, Ramsey and Giroud score these last-minute goals and then Wenger comes out and waxes lyrically about the solidity in the club and how well they are in the dressing room and they show so much character and spirit. And then we have about 6 or 7 of these types of games in between that. And it's very difficult to believe that there's any kind of solidity, that there's any kind of, drive or commitment or dedication when this seems to be the norm. It's not. The Leicester games are very few and far between. And I just find it difficult to understand why so many of the players drop their heads. Is it because they feel what we feel? Like, here we go again. Is it because they don't really understand what to do? Is it because they've been struggling for 90 minutes to even score a goal and then all of a sudden, uh-oh, now it's 1-1. Well, they didn't believe that they could end up scoring winners in the last 10, 15 minutes. Like, that's what it seemed like to me, is a genuine lack of belief in most of that playing group that they could end up overcoming that and score a goal in the last 10 minutes. It's just what it felt like to me watching. Jace, you're on mute.
Sorry. There's a couple of mentions with Santi Cazorla there. I just want to point out, guys, this happened to Santi in the team as well. Let's not make out that Santi was some sort of wonderful midfielder who won us every game. He was far from that. He's capitulated with everybody else.
Santi's in the past and has been for 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. But it's one of these issues that, whether it be Santi Cazorla, Mikel Arteta, Aaron Ramsey, Xhaka, when Xhaka first came, he's a beast. He's going to do this. Kolasinac was in this game as well. I didn't see him making a massive difference. It doesn't really matter for me. This is kind of summed up, guys, and when I say this, I don't think Lacazette had a great game today. I think he was average, but that went for the whole team. But why is Arsene Wenger at 70 minutes taking off Lacazette, who is a goal threat, and you know, bringing on Giroud and leaving Iwobi on the pitch? And we know Iwobi's fitness falls off after 60 minutes. We've left on a player, you know, at the end of that game, you had Iwobi doing nothing, absolutely nothing. You had Ozil not contributing. And we've got no goal threat going forward because Ollie's on his own. There's nobody else up there. And I think that's kind of the thing where I see real issues for us. John, what do you think of that? Do you think I'm wrong in thinking that? Or what do you make of it?
I understood bringing on Giroud because we were struggling and Watford were starting to get a lot more set pieces. So you can definitely help there. And it's someone who you can bring on and just say, just, you know, go and mark Deeney, basically, or try and get him away from Petr Cech. So it makes sense from a defensive point of view. I agree. I don't think Lacazette had a great game. Things weren't coming off for him today. He looked like he was struggling a little bit. But yeah, Iwobi again as well. He does tend to tire. And I think you could move Lacazette wide to the left-hand side and put Giroud up front. I think had Koscielny not come off, obviously you saw Jack warming up and was ready to go and ready to come on. I think he was coming on for Iwobi, or that was the message they got at the sideline, which made sense to me because then it was like, at that point it was 1-1. It's like, okay, we need to do something and change the game. We've got to bring something else on. And if it was basically a choice between Jack and Theo. And I don't think this was necessarily a game for Walcott. I thought Jack was the right choice. You know, for sort of 10 minutes to try and find an opening when you know how well he can play with Giroud. So I think that crippled it a little bit.
Sorry. Mike Feinberg's just put in the box. If my life depended on Iwobi poking my wife in the 85th minute, I would kill myself and assume my wife would not get laid.
That's brilliant. I mean, I'm not trying to pick on individual players because I don't think anyone had a particularly good game today, barring probably Nacho. I thought he was one of the exceptions. I don't think there was a lot of easy choices for Arsenal today. I do agree, yeah, he could have taken off Iwobi and left Lacazette on, but I'm not sure it would have made a huge difference because I don't think Lacazette was having a particularly good game either. I agree he's the bigger goal threat. But in theory, Iwobi is the attacking midfielder who knows how to do his job and get back defensively. However, he wasn't doing that in the game, which is why Bellerin was, you know, getting tag teamed by Holivas and Richarlison all game. So, I'm not sure it's going to make the biggest difference. If Koscielny doesn't go down injured, then I think it's a lot better and Jack comes on and maybe there's a chance we can turn it round. But you could see the minute the penalty went in, the heads did drop and just the sort of reaction from the players, it was...
The reaction from the players was woeful, to be honest. Yeah.
And then, like Dom said, with the goal, it was just, you know, I mean, there was like about a minute of the ball just up in the air being headed back and forth. Doesn't get cleared properly by Mertesacker, doesn't get cleared properly by Ozil. Instead of clearing it, he takes it down, but his first touch isn't good enough and he loses the ball to, I think it might be Decore or someone. Again, the ball goes up in the air, doesn't get cleared again. They have a shot, gets blocked. They have another shot, gets deflected. And then there's a great gif someone put up of Xhaka just standing on the edge of the box and just watches Tom Cleverley just walk into the box and he's not even moving. And then as soon as Cleverley's got the ball, Xhaka starts, like, goes to move a step and he's like, oh no, he scored. And again, that's not digging out Xhaka individually. I didn't think he had a very good game, but across the board, it was just the moment Deeney came on for Watford, obviously he didn't get the penalty, he was very big, but the moment he came on, they all of a sudden went, hang on, we can get something from this. Because he was just winning everything. He was winning absolutely everything and no one did anything about it.
I think the biggest problem. So sorry, before you go for the question, I think the biggest problem I had was that the midfield had dissolved totally. There was no protection for the back three. I don't think Koz was that bad today. Holding had very little time. Pear was okay. Monreal was good, but you know, our wing backs didn't tuck in. They were more of a liability than anything. we just did nothing to solidify. And in all honesty, okay, yes, you know, there's a lot of blame going Wenger's way on this, and I do accept he has to carry the can a lot. But to be honest, where's the pride in these players? Where's the pride? Xhaka and Elneny's heads dropped. They were out of the game. It was pathetic. And this happens to us time after time after time. And that's annoying. Sorry, Dom, go.
Well, yeah, following on from that, I thought that Wenger could have still taken Koscielny off and brought Jack on and just gone to a back four.
He could have.
And we could have put an extra man in midfield.
It's quite funny, actually, because a few people said that in the chat, Dom, and we've seen it a few times in games where we've struggled or we've been trying to get a goal. If things aren't working, yeah, switch that back four. And this is the first time I don't think he's done it.
And he had a good opportunity. He had almost had an excuse to.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that is the makes sense. And, it, you know, and also changing to a back four might be something that, for the time being, possibly solves our defensive issues. If we're short on centre-backs.
But let's be honest, Akira, when we were playing with the back four last season, it wasn't helping then, was it? And he's still only going to play two in the middle of the park.
I mean, all this analysis that we're doing right now still comes back to the fact that the players don't seem to have a system or a structure.
No. In all fairness,
We've spoken about 17 different issues here. What we should be able to do is say, oh, the fullbacks weren't cutting in or overlapping how they're supposed to, because we see that every week, and when it works, that's how we win games. Or I don't know what it is that, you know, other teams seem to be able to do, but you can see when a big team isn't clicking by the way they're playing. It doesn't matter on the individuals out on the pitch, does it, John? Like, it's an issue where we're sitting here, and I think this is the exact issue, that we're able to sit here and analyze the game 15 different ways when it should be easy. Our sort of, I mean, I'm not a football expert, none of us are, but it should be really easy for us to see what fell down today. And yet we're talking about 400 different things again. It should just be one or two things that didn't happen for us today, that certain players didn't follow the team instructions, and that's why it didn't work.
No, yeah, absolutely. Right, okay. Right, in the chat box. Okay, if you could give us a like, we'd really appreciate it. Chat box has been really good fun again today. Brilliant. Well done, all of you. I love watching that chat box when it's like this. You know, whether you agree or disagree, it's been superb. And then 73295 comes in and says you can drop the see you next Tuesdays. Brilliant. If you could give us a like, we'd really appreciate it. Any questions, pop them in the box now. We've got a few already. I want to talk, we Dom broached this earlier on, but there seems to be a lack of direction at the club, whether it be, you know, there's been infighting between Gazidis and Wenger. Player policy seems to be a shambles. You know, Ozil, Sanchez, Chambers, you know, the situation's been a joke. We're relying on players, you know, players who are injured, seriously injured, basically get new contracts without earning them. How long do you think it can go on for, John?
In my opinion, it's gone on for 10 years too long. But, you know, there's so many things wrong with the club. It's not just that everyone knows my opinion on the manager and that he should have gone, but it's not just him. It's the owner's lack of interest in actually, you know, winning things or investing money. It's the recruitment, the personnel we've recruited, the coaching staff. It was previously some of the fitness people he had at the club. That looks like it's something that's slowly being turned around for the good. The problem is we've gone from a consistent top four team who we were never really going to challenge for the title in the last 10 years, realistically, but we were always good enough for top four. Now I look at us and say we're a cup team who might get a bit lucky in the draws to get ourselves some favourable ties, and then if we turn up for two games, we can win a cup. And that's it. And that's what I see us as. And the issue is, if you don't get top four, you lose the ability to get some of the biggest stars. And the only way to get them then into the club is if you spend serious money, which the club won't do. I don't think it's that Arsene won't do it. I do think he is slightly restrictive on what he wants to spend on players. But, you know, he spent a lot of money on Ozil and Alexis. He spent a lot of money on Lacazette, you know, who is not a big household name player, at least over here anyway. So I don't think that's necessarily the issue. I think that's more from the owner. And I think, unfortunately, the club at the moment is in a slightly backwards transition. And the big thing is what happens with Alexis and Ozil and how the club reacts to that. Because I don't think there's any doubt in them leaving. The question mark is, did they go in January? Did they go in the summer? You know, that kind of thing. It's how the club reacts to it. They have to go and sign someone. You know, it's one of those weird things where I'm almost not that bothered how good the player is. It just has to be a name. You know, it has to be a statement kind of thing, which is a very bad position to be in, because it's kind of what Man United have done for the last couple of years to try and, you know, keep themselves relevant, and they're slowly getting back to being somewhat of a team again. Someone put in the chat box winning the, you know, Europa League. That would be great. I'd love to win it. I've actually enjoyed the Europa League this season because it's different teams and it's not playing the same teams every, you know, year like we do and getting battered by people. But you do, they've got to go out and make some sort of statement, because if Ozil and Alexis walk away and we don't do anything, then people will look at the club and go, well, they're not in the ascendancy. They're going in the wrong direction. Whereas they look at other clubs who maybe weren't as fashionable in the past, for example, Tottenham, and go, well, they play a style of play. They've got a young, exciting manager. They've got that mong up front Harry Kane, who I completely despise, but unfortunately he's quite good at football. You know, it's everything's going in the wrong direction. So it's not just the manager that needs to change. Some of the players do need to go. I think there's certain staff members, coaches who need to be changed. And just the general attitude and the running of the club needs to be adjusted. I hope we get a director of football in. I don't see it. I think if we get anyone, it's going to be an ex-player from who played under Arsene, who will be a football executive of some kind and maybe a coach and whatever, and will sadly just be another yes man. But I don't think you're going to see big change until either Gazidis leaves or Gazidis actually gets to run the club the way he wants to. And again, that's not siding with Gazidis, because he's very at blame for a lot of things at the club as well. But I think he doesn't have enough control. I think him and Wenger are clearly pulling in two different directions, and above them is an owner who doesn't give a shit. And sadly, as sands, we're the ones who are going to have to suffer for, you know, however many years with this.
Absolutely. I'm going to come back to the director of football question in a bit. You've got a question on that. Dom, you're taking it all at the moment.
No, I agree with John's last statement there about how we've got a manager and a CEO or whatever you want to call him, Gazidis, that are not on the same page, and an owner that doesn't care, and a board that doesn't seem to actually understand football or be able to have any kind of power in any decisions anyway. So what we need is for everyone to be singing off the same hymn sheet, and that's not going to happen whilst Arsene Wenger's at the club, and it's not going to happen whilst Gazidis is there either. So it will change when Wenger goes. And the reason I don't want Wenger around anymore as a manager is because I don't like that we have no system and structure in our football anymore. It's got nothing to do with the off-field stuff. Like John said, I find it difficult to think that he's purposely just not spending money. I think that if you look at Stan Kroenke's track record in North America with other sports, is it's consistent. He's not somebody that's going to invest. He's not somebody that's going to try and build a winning team. He wants to build a franchise. He wants to, you know, he just wants to make money and just increase his portfolio. So you have a situation where I think one of our good buddies, Neil, the giant fanny, Captain Fanny, that he doesn't want the manager around either, but he does also think that everything would fall to pieces. And I understand what he's saying, because I do think that the owner is reliant on the manager, because the owner has no idea how to run a Premier League football club. And I also think that if you take Arsene Wenger out, because they've relied on him so much, and I think wrongly over the last 10 years or so, that there are so many people that would need to come into the club that would need to all of a sudden start to pull together to get things done in the right way. That's why we see the new fitness guy, Darren Bird, just come in. We see the contracts guy come in. We've seen a few little additions to the team, but I know Gazidis is probably pushed hard for, because he's probably looking at this as well, thinking, well, we've got a manager that's 69. He signed a 2-year extension. He's only got, you know, 18 months left. When he goes, we're stuffed. Because if you look at how every other club, top club, is run around the Premier League and around the world, they don't have one guy that's in charge of football, transfers, and God knows what else. So I think that's our biggest issue, is that Arsene's just being relied on and or making decisions on things that other managers don't need to anymore. And I don't know whether that's affecting his ability to coach the team or what, but as far as things changing, I don't think it's going to change until he goes. Now, he's not the only problem. I just want to make that clear. But I think that the other issues will come to light, and I think that they will be forced to be addressed without him being able to, you know, not necessarily take blame for them, but he does, I think, to paper over some of those cracks by doing a lot of things that he shouldn't really be doing.
Yeah, I think if you look at the, you know, over the summer, he promised change. Nothing's changed. Nothing's really changed. And, you know, it's a bit of an issue. It's a bit of an issue that we have an inability to change as well. You know, there's not the desire for us to change. There's not the ability for us to change. And it does come from the top. And, you know, people harp on, I see people a lot of the time harping on or bring back David Dean. David Dean's actions brought the situation about. And then the ineptitude of Kroenke and the lack of desire for success, etc., has been a continuation of that. You know, Dean left. We had Edelman, Keith Edelman, as CEO. Then we've had Gazidis. Somebody asked us, you know, is Gazidis complicit in all this? Of course he is. You know, his inability to influence Wenger, and, you know, and then, you know, the briefing against each other last year and over the summer has been ridiculous. You know, For Arsene Wenger, Ivan Gazidis, Stan Kroenke, they all need to grow the fuck up and get on with it, and, as you say, pull in the same direction, because this is not going to solve itself without them acting as a team. We have to pull, you know, as you say, sing off the same hymn sheet, show united front and go forward. And when people talk about, you know, oh, I wish Usmanov would take over, you know, Usmanov, you can't guarantee it's going to be any better. And let's be honest, okay, I'm sure Usmanov, you know, people give Stan Kroenke a lot of stick, and deservedly so. I don't think Stan Kroenke is a present man whatsoever. You know, he's all about the money. He's all about himself. He doesn't give a fuck for anybody. But neither does Usmanov.
I just don't think any of the owner, the board, the manager, or the CEO are doing a great job right now.
No, none of them are. But the thing is,
it's becoming clearly evident to everybody, isn't it? And that, I think, is heightening results like today. Like I said earlier, it's heightening the emotion of the fact that we see ourselves slipping backwards, and as fans, there's nothing we can do about it. And we just want the team and the club and everybody to start pulling together in the right direction. And it just seems like as weeks go by, it's getting further and further apart.
No, absolutely. But the biggest problem I see the options sort of at ownership level, Usmanov or Kroenke. Well, Usmanov will throw money at it, but, you know, does he care about the club? You know, he's a very shady character. This is not somebody you want to get in bed with, you know? You know, if you bring an experienced manager such as Ancelotti or something like that in, you know, they will bring a team with them, a settled team which can help on the coaching front, on the football front. But then you need the desire at CEO and the ability at CEO to be able to take the club forward on the commercial levels and so forth. But there you go. I think we've done enough about that. Right, okay, let's go to questions. Mike, behave yourself. Right, so we're just going to rattle through a couple of questions, guys, then we're going to end this. We've been on long enough now. And 235100 asks, what is the point of a three-man panel on diving? If you dive, you win a team a penalty and get 3 points. Say at the end of the season, should your position be higher than you have than you are at? John, you know, what is the point of the three-man panel on diving? And unless they're going to really hammer these players and have points deductions, what's the point?
So the current stance is that they get a two-match ban if they are found for diving or, you know, charged with diving by the panel. I assume there's an appeals process maybe after that. If they appeal and then they lose the appeal, then maybe they get an extra game. I think at the moment it's very early days on it because it's a, if we do this, then the player goes, oh, I'll miss two games, and maybe their manager will say, oh, hey, you know, you've cost us because in these two games coming up, we really needed you. At first, I don't think it's going to have a huge effect. I think to the players who are repeat offenders, their manager might start to get more wary of picking them. And, you know, sometimes diving doesn't always win you the game, getting the penalty and everything. I do agree it's not the best approach, but it's a start. if you look at where we were, you know, it's a start. It's better than nothing. Whether it works or not, I really don't know. I don't think you're going to make a huge change until you bring in VAR for any decisions made in the 18-yard box, basically. But it's a move in the right direction, I think. I'm not pro every single electronic thing coming into football and all the computer stuff. Some of the things I think are fine. Some of them I'm not so with, because I do think at the end of the day it's human element and that's what it should be left to. But it's a trend in the right direction, at least. It doesn't help us today, obviously, but we didn't help ourselves. So, you know.
Fair enough. Dom, right, here we go. Stephen Edwards asks, I'm Stan the Man. They both got questions on Lacazette. First of all, what do you think of him coming off 70 minutes? And what do you think is going to be the acceptable return of goals for him this season? A very good season.
As far as him coming off on 70 minutes, I wouldn't have minded seeing him and Giroud play off each other a little bit, or, you know, when he could have brought Iwobi off, I guess, and put Lacazette back in that position, or, you know, whatever the change was, I don't know. So no, yeah, I guess he could have stayed on. He's a good goal threat and he can finish, which was something that we were struggling with today. How many goals? Look, if he gets 20 in all competitions, I think that's a pretty good return for the first season. I think the concern with him is that, are we going to start playing to his strengths a little bit more? Because at the moment, it's pretty clear that we're not.
Fair enough. I think that's a good answer. John, K-Man Arsenal Forever asks, would you approve of Arsenal, of Mark Overmars joining Arsenal as a director of football?
No, quite simply. Look, I don't watch tons of Dutch football. I follow some people who do, you know, people who live over there and people who live elsewhere in the world, but are big, you know, Ajax and Feyenoord and whatever fans. And he hasn't done a great job over there. That doesn't mean he wouldn't make a good one, because, you know, sometimes people at one club don't work out and they work well at another. The problem I have with, if we ever get someone who comes in as director of football whilst Arsene Wenger is there, especially if they're an ex-player who played under him, I think they're just going to be yes men, and it's just like a show title. It's not really doing anything. I mean, it's good to have that kind of player at the club in some capacity, whether it's as an ambassador or on the ground, because you can teach young players things and they can certainly learn off them. But no, as a director of football, I don't think he's built out for that kind of thing. I'd be interested to see who the club, if they have any lined up for it, who they've got. And I suspect that one, Arsene Wenger won't let anyone have that title of director of football, because he's already said it's nonsense and he doesn't know what one is. You know, which is just his way of saying, I don't want anyone telling me what to do. My job, but I think whoever there'll be a list that Arsenal have, and there'll be a list that Ivan Gazidis has, and I doubt any of them names match up at all. But no, I wouldn't have Overmars. I'd have him back at the club in some other capacity. I wouldn't have a problem with it. Same as, you know, there's lots of players, Dennis, you know, I think having ex-pros at the club who have done something impressive for the club is all good. Overmars is a bit of an odd one, though, because it's not like he's not a huge legend like a Vieira or an Omri, is he? Don't get me wrong, he was obviously in the double winning side and everything else, but he wasn't here that long.
No.
He buggered off, didn't he? So, you know, I don't know.
It is a strange one.
I'm not sure how true that story is, to be honest. It wouldn't surprise me if maybe his agent has put that in the papers because he wants the job, you know. So I don't know. But if anyone like that came in, Arsenal will still have the final say, I still think. Yeah. So I don't think that's – and again, that goes up to what we were saying earlier about joined-up thinking and the whole club pushing in the same direction. If everyone's doing exactly what Arsenal wants and everyone at the club is doing it, I'm not saying that's going to be the best thing, but at least everyone's then going in one direction,
yeah.
You know, rather than being split all over the place.
No, I don't think that's fair enough. Dom 73295 asks, are we resting Walcott for the Charity Shield?
Probably. He seems to do well in those games, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I mean, look, the guy scores. It's one of those.
Well, to be fair, I think that I said this at the time, it was better keeping him than it was keeping Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah, absolutely.
Theo has contributed more last season than Oxlade-Chamberlain has in his entire career. So, you know, yeah, he kind of has his faults and flaws and whatnot, but I think that he could be a useful addition to the squad this year still.
No, absolutely. The next one I'm going to answer, actually, Petito 100. When Ozil and Alexis go, are Arsenal going to spend to replace them? No, we're not. I don't think we've got the money anymore because of poor planning and not investing in players over the last number of years. Where, and you know, I think the fault lies on this with the club and Arsene, you know, only bringing, it's my pet hate this one, only bringing Cech in that season has cost us in the long term because the value of players has shot through the roof and the value of our money in the bank has just gone through the floor. So we haven't got the money that we did have at one point. So I don't think we got the money to replace these guys properly, not without borrowing. And there's a problem. We haven't had enough foresight. You know, we knew that the Premier League contract, TV contract, was going to be bigger than it had ever been. Yet still, we didn't realise that it was going to be so massive. And with Brexit and the value of the pound, etc., all these other issues have come into play where our pound in the bank isn't as valuable as it used to be. And, you know, we should have been invested in players a la Chelsea. We haven't done it. So we've made a rod for our own backs there. And it's shameful the way we've run it. But again, it comes back to everybody working together, joined up thinking, and a bit of foresight, which we just don't have at the club at the moment. John, Cole likes Desi. Cole likes Desi. If Facebook, Amazon, Google get the Premier League rights, would Kronk not give a fuck about the Champions League? Will we see Champions League at our club in the next few years?
Will we see Champions League in the next few years? I think we will. Maybe not next season. I think the season after. Because I think if we miss out one more year, then... and it's Arsenal's last year at the club, I think it will be, I don't care about anything else and I just want to get him back into the Champions League. Whether he's getting another contract after that is a different thing, but I think that will be the big push and they'll just ignore every other competition. Does it affect Kroenke on what he wants to spend if Google and that? I'm not sure it actually does. The weird thing is, right, that if this whole deal thing happens, that there's talk of Google and Amazon, these companies coming together and buying rights to football and basically doing a streaming service like Netflix is the kind of thing. So you pay a monthly fee and there's different packages. So kind of like your Sky Sports, but you can turn it off whenever you want. You have to be signed to a contract. I think what you'll find is it'll actually probably be cheaper than what most people are paying for sports packages now because those companies can afford to make it cheaper. And if it's just the Premier League, that doesn't affect what happens with the Champions League. That's a separate bidding issue. whether those big companies will want to bid on those is a different thing. They all take it a piece at a time. So I think in the long run, it's better that Arsenal was successful for Kroenke in the Premier League. But as long as they are just in the competition, I think he's fine. But I actually do think if the whole Google thing and whatever, if they take over, I do actually think for fans it will be better, because they will be of the opinion, I don't give a shit about your 3 o'clock rule. We want to show 3 o'clock games. I don't care. We're paying all the money, so we make the rules now. And they will do everything to benefit the viewer, whereas Sky and everyone else doesn't get
because they want subscriptions. And that you're right, absolutely right. All those streaming services, I think it would be amazing for us all over the world, and traveling fans and away fans.
In particular, fans all over, like out of the UK would be even better for them.
Even
fans of the UK, I think they would see the benefit if one of those companies took over, because their number one priority is making sure people subscribe and keep subscribed and stay on. It's the same reason why Netflix spends lots of money on developing their own shows and all these streaming services, because they want to keep people coming back to them. Because it's just a different way that people consume their media now. And I think sports will go in that direction as well. So I think if it does happen, then Kroenke might look at it and say, oh, maybe he's got a bigger target audience, so maybe spending a little bit more will actually be better for him in the long run.
However, with that, a quick little stat on the Champions League, though, is the reason that the Champions League won't have that kind of draw as far as subscription money and these companies wanting to bid on it is because a few years ago, there was a stat that came out that the Champions League final had 150 million viewers worldwide.
Yeah.
And there was a mid-season game between Liverpool and Man United, just like today, that had 500 million worldwide. So that gives you a little bit of an example of just how popular the Premier League is and just why these TV deals are worth so much.
Yeah, there was a great thing Amy Lawrence said, sorry, Jace, just quickly, on the this week's Askcast, and she's talking about the Anfield 89 documentary, which if anyone hasn't seen the trailer for, go and look it up. This great little documentary about us winning at Anfield. Just fuck off Liverpool. Anyway, that game, which is in, 1989, and not everyone had TVs back then. Some of you young might be young and not realise that was a thing.
Stop carpentering the shit out of it and get on with it.
But that game had 13 million people in the UK watching it, which is absolutely ridiculous. Super Sunday average on Sky is 1 million viewers. So
that was maybe the greatest night of my life watching football.
But that's what the you've got to look at. Sky and everyone. Oh, yeah. Me and Dom were there. I was five.
Oh, sorry.
Dom, first time I ever met Dom. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Well, nice. Right, in any case, final question. By the way, Mike from Gooners in the USA, behave yourself, you're a bugger. Jove82 asks Dom, is a season over already?
To win the league, oh yeah. If we finish fourth, I think that's a massive achievement. If you think that we're still in the title race, then I think that even those people need to go and see professional help.
Mind you, I heard a pirate once told me that Pep is a fraud.
It's only Stoke, Jace. It's only Stoke.
Oh, sorry, Stoke.
He didn't say that. He said, 500 million. Must be hard managing that.
Wasn't he the youth team coach at Barcelona and they'd won fuck all before he took over?
Chris
Carpenter. By the way, for all those that just said, the pirate is currently doing his ironing. Now, he's not even sailing the seven seas and pillaging. He's ironing. What a twat. God love you, Chris. Chris will be on this week, funny enough. The lineup for the Red Star game at present, just to let the viewers, the listeners know, is, if I can get in there. Honestly, I've lost the will to live today. So for Red Star, it's Danny, Chris, and Josh. They will be on this week. That's it, I think, for tonight, guys. I think it's been a dog shit performance from the Arsenal. This has been quite painful to do tonight. I'd like to thank everybody who's been in the chat box. You've been superb this week. Just brilliant. It's been some really thoughtful discussions in there, along with the usual ranting, which is great. My thanks to Dom. Dom, you're a rock star.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. John, the Tinder King.
Good to have you back, pal.
Cheers, Jace. Pleasure as always, mate.
Brilliant. Yeah, look, guys, you know, we look forward to seeing you on Thursday. If you want to contact us, please do. Oh, quick shout out, Charles M. Hatfield. Charles M. Hatfield on Twitter. But then, nice job today, guys, as always. You should change the post-match show titles to Arsenal Therapy. By Christ, I need therapy after this. But cheers, Charles. But no, you're all superb. That's us done for this week. We look forward to the Red Star game. Hopefully something better will happen. Take care, guys. Keep it Arsenal. Good night. And let's hope for a miracle.